Thank you, Cheryl.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kathy and Kathy and Cheryl.
Kathy and Cheryl, thanks for being here.
And we are here for Growing with NTI. And that was me. losing my stuff. No, I'm trying to put some things away from a meeting earlier, and are spread out over my desk, and they started sliding. And you know, if you holler at things, they'll stop sliding.
It always works.
Always works. Like hollering at that golf ball. Get up! So, I don't think that I realized that Kathy was a golfer. We probably talked about that at the retreat.
I think she and I talked about it.
Did you? Yeah. But she was talking the other day about being a golfer. But okay. So, anywho, I have had a very, very strange day. I am going to try and teach despite having a very strange day. But I'm going to let Connie say our prayer for us, if she will. And I'm just going to kind of sit back here and collect myself while she does that. You want to sit in this chair?
No, hand me that mic.
Hand me the mic. I can pray. There you go, honey. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you for the lessons that I'm learning. I am so grateful. And while I didn't think I wanted to teach a class like this, it's very helpful. So thank you. There's lots of things that I'm doing right now, and there's lots of realizations that I'm having towards my spiritual unfoldment. So I am as pleased as I can be that I'm being led and being guided. And even when I think I'm not, every once in a while I go, oh, where did that come from? And it's really sweet, and I'm very appreciative from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Amen.
Amen. Sweet, Connie. Thank you.
So she's appreciative. I'm grumpy. That's lovely. Thank you. All right. I'm still trying to get stuff off my desk. Okay. Last week we left off at... we're on page 201 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And we are reading from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 28. What do I want? This is the question you must ask and keep firmly within your mind in all things, not just in some things, in all things. What do I want? Do I want to be, I'll read the rest of it in a minute. Now I'm extrapolating. Do I want to be, do I want to feel loved, or do I want the truth? Do I want to have my way, or do I want the truth? Do I want to be comfortable, or do I want the truth? What is my guiding light? What is it that I want? Because, and we've talked about this many times before, because of who we are, because we are creators and co-creators, you better be clear on what you want, because that's what you're going to get. So do I want, the thing about duality is, as we're all aware, is you can't have... It's like trying to be a little bit pregnant. You can't have a little good and no bad, right? You can't have good and then not have the bad half of that. There's two sides to the duality coin. So you can't have the highs and not have the lows. What you can have is separation or truth. So... what do I want? Who am I serving here? How does this activity serve me? Does this activity serve me? And when I say me, I'm not talking about the little me. I mean, because that's what we're used to doing is following the dictates of the little me. How does it serve me? What have you done for me lately? What does this do for me? This is about talking about serving me in my quest for truth.
But I would interject something here.
All right.
When you say, how does this serve me? I mean, we have... And you're my best example of this because you bring it back home all the time, Jacqueline. But how does it serve me is the practical aspect of our spiritual path. I can't know how, I may not know how it serves me in the grand picture, but all I can do is how does it serve me at this given moment? If I am ignoring somebody when they're trying to get my attention because I'm elsewhere or I've got my own agenda, I'm not in the spirit of giving and sharing love. I'm in the experience of my own agenda. And the Course saying, you know, that our senses aren't showing us anything. So I've got to be true to my what I'm learning, and what I'm learning is what do I want? What do I want? I want the peace of God. Oh, I got to get this done. Excuse me. Don't bother me right now. I said that to you already. Don't talk to me. Whatever. I mean, I've got all these. That's the agenda of the world. So what do I really want? What I really want is to experience my brother as myself. And to know that our interests are the same. They may appear by the seeming dictates of the world to be separate, and I may have, you know, I may be on this path, and they may seem like they're on that path, but no, our interests are the same, and that's, you know, to love, be loved, I think I've said enough, but that, and that's just my lesson right now. My lesson right now is to not get caught up in the world as my reality, to know that my reality is, what do I want? What I want to know the truth of my heart. That's my lesson right now.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Thank you for sharing it. Kathy asks, do you think those highs and lows actually balance out? Or are there those who have many more highs than lows and vice versa?
Well, you know, What's being taught by, I think, really smart or awakened people is that, yes, in duality, for every high, there is a low. For every this side of the coin, there's the other side of the coin. I had a friend of mine who we chat on a regular basis, and she has some great spiritual experiences or mystical experiences. And she'll say to me, but I don't get, Connie, why you would pursue this path when you're having such a full life. You know, you and your partner are going places and doing things, and you and your family are playing golf, and they come out of the cabin and they swim, and you just have all this good time. Why would you be pursuing this? But for the very same reasons that we're talking about here, because for every high, there is a low. In the world of duality. In the world of duality, there's life and death. In the world of reality, there's love and hate. And you know, I know that that's not the truth of things. So that's why I'm pursuing this. What do I want? I want the joy of God.
Yeah, that transcends the people and the circumstance and the, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think yin and yang. Yeah. Yeah, transcends all of it. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and that's, you know, that's what the Course talks about when it talks about being above the battleground, right? The battleground, you have the left and the right, the yin and the yang, the good and the bad, the love and the hate. And it transcends it all.
Yeah, and this statement, what do I want, will take you there. It'll take you above the battleground. It will let you know that when you're in a scenario that seems to be going awry with people quabbling about their own agendas, here's what I want, why didn't I get that? You know, you're above, you can say, what do I want? I want the peace of God. I don't want to participate in the duality that would seem to take me on the other side of the, on the dark side of the fence. Yeah. On the left side of the column.
Yeah. So let's, want to read another sentence? Oh. We've read two.
Here, I'll turn the, I'm not sure, that may be too loud for me, but if I do, okay, turn on low. Sorry, got a little warm in here.
All this preaching made it hot.
The dark side of the moon, Kathy typed in here. Okay, so let's see. What do I want? Well, I don't know. Let me think about it.
Well, let's go over this again.
This is the question you must ask and keep firmly within your mind in all things. For you will see and experience that which you want, because it is that which you have chosen to experience. And you must be given that which you have chosen to experience. Within your mind there is a wish. It is a protected and denied wish, and yet it is a wish that has been very dear to you until now. This is the wish that you could be that which you want to be. This is a wish that wishes for change within the changeless. And so, this is a wish that asks for the changeless to be what it is not.
Tiny mad idea.
The tiny mad idea. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's exactly the thing we talked about, the yin and the yang. You know, I want that really high, high. Are you sure? Because you're going to get that really low, low with it. Yeah, I want it. Give it to me.
Give it to me.
This is why you feel that you have stolen yourself from God. It is because you have asked that you could be what you are not. And then you made a web of beliefs cast upon a fog and a shadow that you may experience that which you want to experience. You know, I'm trying to think who I heard teaching about the other day, and it may have been Regina teaching about, well, what's enlightenment? You know, what's enlightenment feel like? Is it like one long orgasm? Which is, you know, it's funny, but it's the way we think. And the point here is that okay, so let me start back. I'm sorry, I think I got a little bit distracted, but I have heard people say, well, if you don't have the yin and the yang, the highs and the lows, if what you are is changeless, isn't changeless pretty daggone boring? And so we've heard the response that, no, it's fabulous. It's like unending ecstasy. Oh, you mean like an eternal orgasm? Yeah, orgasm. Yeah, yeah, like that. Which, you know, it's the, what we forget is that what we do is we continue to ask for experiences. That, and an unending orgasm would be an experience. And what we're really talking about is transcending experience. Now, I don't know what that looks like because I ain't done it yet. I just think it's for me, that, I mean, I don't know. That's what ran through my mind when I was reading this. I mean, what Kathy wrote on the board. And Tom just got back. No.
Listen, what do you want?
That is not what I'm talking about. But yeah, so as we often contemplate, it's beyond what the mind can actually, the transcendence we're talking about, the changeless state that we said, well, I want something different, is actually beyond what I can conceive. So I don't know what that looks like. This is when you know that you have to want truth for truth's sake, right? When you're willing not to get, you know, some kind of like great prize, like an unending orgasm at the end of the rainbow. You know, it's like, no, I really want the truth. I want the truth for the truth's sake. You know, I don't know if that's where I'm at or not. I know that I do not want my heart to break when I see people mistreated. I know that I don't want my heart to break when I see people who are unable to eat. You know, I mean, it's for me, what has often driven me is the heartache that we see in this world. Now, so if I say I'm looking for, if I'm looking for the truth for truth's sake, you know, I don't have to have an unending orgasm. That's not what, you know, this eternal, ongoing bliss is not, does not feel like that that's what's driving me. I'm not looking for that. But I would like a little bit of relief from you know, from just the general heartache that just exists in the world, you know? I mean, just like you watch a movie and your heart just breaks for the, you know, for the whatever the people are going through. I mean, you do it in your own life, you see it in your relatives' lives, and you're just going, I would just, it would be really nice if that were, in fact, all a part of the dream. I'm done.
Well, that's good. And I have my own rampage here.
Okay, Connie's going to go on a rampage. Now it's her turn. Go ahead, Connie.
Yeah, well, what this reminds me of, when it says you stole yourself from God, it is because you have asked that you could be what you are not, and then you made a web of beliefs cast upon a fog and a shadow that you may experience that which you want to experience. Yeah, and this reminds me, and I'll tell myself here, I'm behind in my lessons. Well, I'm a little bit further than this, but the lesson that said that I am as God created me, and that is, what's so cool about that is that I know that that's the truth about me. Now, I may be seemingly participating in a dream or an illusion, so that may not look like that's my experience. But the truth, the core of my being is I am as God created me. I am still in heaven with God, having a dream, having a nightmare, maybe, about an experience on earth. That's it.
It sounded like you were going to say something else and then you didn't. All right. Well, too late. All right, here we are. So let's look and see where we are now.
I think we're on 12.
12? Oh, did I change? Did I flip back? Okay, wait a minute. Somebody came up and changed my, turned my pages for me.
202. Page 202.
Huh. I don't know how I got back there. Weird. All right. You must see and experience that which you choose to see and experience because you wanted it so, and so you made it so. All that you have given unto yourself, so that all that you know has been a gift given unto you and given by you. If you choose to lay your experiences aside and choose the experience of welcoming the light, you must choose to lay your secret wish aside as completely undesired. And you must choose to welcome the light as all that you want to know and be.
Hallelujah, that's a great chapter. I mean, that's what we were talking about at dinner.
Yeah.
Is that the seemingly stuff that seems to be going on, me with my agenda and you with your agenda, and them clashing.
We're not fighting this week, y'all, by the way. She made it sound like it, but we weren't. Go ahead.
Yeah, or me with my mom or whatever, right? But when we're in the spirit of what we want, the love and the peace, extending the love and peace of God, extension, right?
Yeah.
When they're in that spirit, then our world can reflect that. It doesn't have to take on the flip side of that.
The contraction.
Yes.
What's in it for me?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you taking what I want away from me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do I have to protect here? Why am I a fear? You know, the flip side of that would be the fearful side.
Right.
You know, what is she trying to get over on me?
Right. Yeah. Temporal and temporary, Kathy said.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah. The question that you must ask yourself, and that you must continue to ask yourself, and the question that you must hold firmly within your mind is this: what do I want? What is it that I truly, within the depths of my heart, seek as my only experience? Do I seek the changeless truth of all that is? Is this what I would know? Or would I have my own kingdom rather than know that I am king? Within your mind is a universe you have made. This universe is a concept, made of concepts, made to block the light. It is through this universe, of which you believe, that you deny that which is true, of which you believe. That's an interesting way to put that. It is through this universe, of which you believe, that you deny that which is true. But the universe you have made is not true. It is a block over truth, intended to hide the truth from you so that you may pretend the universe is truth and the universe defines all that you are. In this wish, you are limited by your wish. And so, your own wish hides the truth of what you are. Let go of the universe you have made. It is nothing of reality. It is only a joke that you have made of yourself and for yourself. However, you are not finding it to be funny. So why do you hold on to your joke? Well, because I believe it. Because at this point, I'm seemingly unable to see beyond it.
And because I haven't had experiences of otherwise.
Beyond it.
Yeah.
No, I have had experiences beyond it.
Well, very limited. I mean, our daily...
Says you. No, go ahead. No, go ahead. I stopped her in her tracks. Go ahead, Connie.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, yeah, a lot of us have had spiritual experiences, and we're going, oh, man, that was revolutionary. I mean, I'll never go back to who I was before. And then the next day, you know, you're going... Well, I was here first. You know, I mean, so we go back to the what was habit, what was second nature to us before.
Our conditioning. Yeah.
Exactly. Instead of going back to the beginning of this chapter, beginning where we started, is what do you want? You know, you want the peace of God, or do you want to be there first? I mean, you're the one that taught me that. I thought that was such a great lesson about Disney World and
bars
and rushing up to get that, you know, to get that place in line and beating out somebody else, and like that was my truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not my truth.
Trying to be first in line.
Yeah, that's not my truth. To be that mom and pop and the four kids, you know? What is that?
Yeah, you're so much happier just to let things unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that really is a good demonstration of the difference between the two thought systems. Cool. Hey, Dove, welcome.
Who is it?
Dove and Jay just joined us.
Hey, Dove. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys.
Jacqueline's got some good teaching going on.
Ah, Connie's the good teacher. So here we go. Darkness is of your own choice, because darkness is the universe that hides the truth. The universe is a darkness you have made.
Because of your choices. Because not knowing what you really want. Okay, go ahead.
Right. No, right. You have made the darkness, and so you can choose not to look at it, not to listen to it, and not to let it be your limiting universe anymore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and in the Course in Miracles, I think chapter 26 talks about that. It's like, don't look out there and go, look, there's proof. Because you can't look outside yourself for that kind of proof. You're only getting what it was you chose to see. You set this up. You made all these props, and now you're pointing at the props going, see, I told you we were separate. So it says, let's see, yes, but to do this, you must welcome the light. In the light, you can see. It will guide you to let go of the darkness by showing you that darkness cannot exist within the light of which you are. So if you're gonna look for proof, look for proof of the light, right? I mean, look for that in every situation.
What do you want?
What do I want? I want to see the peace of God. Well, lo and behold, guess what you get to see?
In the light, you'll see the peace of God. You're not going to see it
excuse me.
In the dark side of the page.
In beating your brother out of...
Yeah, and having your own agenda and not being there and listening and present.
You're not going to find the peace of God there.
Yes.
You must trust the words that come from my mouth, because they are the words that are written upon your heart. Trust your heart. And in trusting your heart, you trust me also. For we are the same, and we are all things, and we are the truth. And the truth is written upon us as a witness to all the world. The light is our glory, and the light is us, and within us. And we are within the light. For the light is inseparable from us, and us from each other. And we are inseparable from the light. It is all things, and in all things, and all things are in it. This is the truth you try to hide. But this is the light that must not be hidden, because it is the light that cannot be hidden. And so, it does not hide.
So, once again, I think where we are in this is that, you know, we get into a scenario that seems to be an experience that seems to be outside of ourselves, that this experience that's going on, and we're looking at it like we're an outsider and just kind of participating in the experience. No, no, no. You know, the experience is of your making. The circumstances come together because of your mindset. So, you know, you can be in the spirit of God. You can be in the experience of love. And I said this at dinner tonight. When we had dinner together, we were in the experience of camaraderie, of love and fellowship, of being with who I loved and who I enjoyed. That's what the dinner was about, right?
Right.
What do I want? That's what I wanted in that experience. Now, you know, I mean, something could have come up and I could have run off with it and had a limiting experience, you know, taking things personally or getting my feelings hurt or on and on and on. Those things I could have done. But what do I want? No, that's not what I want. So don't let my experiences be about what I don't want.
Right. Choice is yours.
The choice is yours.
Yeah, well said. Thank you. Okay. We're on page 203 of NTI John, chapter 13. Service is surrender. It is surrender to the light that will make the light known to you. To surrender to the light is to become one with it, which is to lay aside any will that would seem to be different. You experience the world that you experience because it is your will to do so. To experience a world that is different from the world that you experience, you must take up another will as your own. This is service. And service can only be fully accomplished by the full surrender of the will you are not to serve. This is striking me funny here. A couple things. One thing is, in that sentence, I hear, and I'm hearing this quite often these days, I hear Tess Hughes talking about putting the ego on a diet. You know, I want to tell you about some story about how somebody done me wrong, right? And I'm not telling the story because I'm putting ego on a diet. You know, that's the only reason I want to tell that story, right? Or I can show you how great I was when I didn't let so-and-so take advantage of me, right? So, so put ego on a diet. And I hear that in here about giving up the personal will. This struck me a little bit differently. And, you know, I've read this. In fact, I've got it underlined and highlighted. So I've read it at least twice and liked it, but didn't quite hear it this way about this idea of service. To experience a world that is different from the world that you experience, you must take up another will as your own. This is service. And service can only be fully accomplished by the full surrender of the will you are not to serve. So, before I started in full on this path back in 2009, I kept hearing that word in my head, service. I'm like, what? What is this? And every now and then I'm here. I mean, it was strong and it was obvious. It was internal and it was, you know, it was like a mandate, service. And I'm like, I don't know what you mean. What do you want me to go to the soup kitchen and serve people there? What do you mean, service? So it's just really interesting to see this here. And so you think of service and you think, well, I will. I'll go to the soup kitchen, or I'll work for Awakening Together, or I'll do whatever. But it's not about that. But the service is in, just like A Course in Miracles says, my awakening, right? It's accepting the atonement, the atonement for myself. That's the service. And how do I perform that service? By giving up the will that I thought up until this time was what I wanted, right? By giving up my own little self, my own little personal will,
agenda,
giving up my own agenda, and accepting another will. It says here, right? Take up another will as my own. Can't imagine whose will that is.
Yeah, of course, it's just talking about that. The same thing we've been talking about. It's that
right.
It's that higher divine voice or that agenda, right? That the above the battleground agenda position in any given situation where people come in and everybody seems to be often all everybody, you know, you got five people, you got five different egos talking about what's important to them, or you got 10 people, you got 10, you got 20, you got 20. Instead, you are able to see it from what do I really want? What I really want is to service my spiritual path as well as everybody's that's here.
Right, because it's the one mind. It's the awakening of the one mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to stay in that spirit, no matter what's going on.
Yeah. No matter how uncomfortable I am.
Yeah, or no matter, yeah, instead of running off on those tangents, I got my feelings hurt. I'm sorry, I mean, this is my lesson, so I keep saying this over and over again because this is what I need to learn. I don't need to get my feelings hurt. I don't need to take it personally. I just have to stay in that spirit of knowing what it is I want. I want to know the will of God.
Well said. For will must be a leader, and you must be a follower. To serve the will of one is not to serve the will of the other. Again, that's the two columns, right? You can't do both. So, you must pick the one that you will serve and relinquish the other. There is only one choice that you can make if you are to be an unconflicted servant. You must serve the light, because the light is present in all things. The light is the one eternal will. To serve is to serve the light. For to be conflicted is not to have decided. And so it is not to have made the choice to serve. Joy comes from the choice to serve, because the choice to serve is the choice to relinquish conflict. That's what you say. I mean, it's just what you've been saying all along. It's just getting it in the spirit. The conflicted servant cannot know joy because he has not made the decision to serve, and so he must be unsettled in his heart. For he knows he is a servant, and he knows it is his will to serve, but... yeah, this is really being damned right here, right? He knows he is a servant, he knows it is his will to serve, but he has not matched his will to his will, capital W will, and so he seems to betray himself. Fear not. Confusion cannot last. Confusion calls out to be healed, so that all confusion calls to the one will that would heal it. That one will is the alignment of will without the conflict of a separate will to confuse it. That seems really sweet, and the fact is, it reaches a boiling point. I mean, and we've talked about this before, about where the further and further you go along this path, the more sensitive you seemingly become to things that are inconsistent with the truth. And so it says, fear not, confusion can't last. It's going to call out for help. What it means is you're going to be going, oh my God!
what I have found is everybody becomes my savior, because I can see it through their, I mean, if there's confusion for them and they're running about doing this and that, and you're going, oh my, they just haven't understood this yet.
Yeah, and of course, what I'm talking about is when there's still confusion in my mind, and I'm upset, and I know it's I'm the guy that they're talking about here, and I'm the conflicted servant, you know, because I know what I want, and when I experience an inconsistency in what I want, the pain is. Acute. Is that the one that recurs? I don't mean the recurring one. It hurts. You know. So the idea is that's fine. But you know what I was saying was this paragraph goes, oh, don't worry, it won't last. It won't last because it can't last, because you cannot sit in that spot without aligning your will with the will, the light. You're not following me. You're looking at me funny.
No, I'm just saying that if we ask what we want, we know what we want, right?
Sure.
If we ask what do we want, and we hold that out like the beacon, like we're holding out our what do we call it?
our spiritual aspiration, our what spiritual, we want.
What we want, our spiritual aspiration. If we hold that out in front of us, right, in any given scenario, and hold to that, we're no longer conflicted. Where's the conflict? There won't be any conflict.
I agree. Do you think we're disagreeing?
No, not at all. No, I'm just saying. There's no conflict when we're holding that out. It's where we only get conflicted is when we think we have a personal agenda.
Right, and which is what this whole chapter is about.
Okay. Exactly.
What I was saying was I don't have to look outside myself to see this going on. I don't have to look at somebody else and go, oh, you poor bastard, you're not getting it. I look at the conflict that I experience, and I go, oh, you poor bastard, you're not getting it.
Right.
Without having to look outside myself.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that my brother is my savior because sometimes I can't see it in my own self, but I can see it when somebody else is suffering the pain. And I go, oh, gosh, sorry.
It's okay. We are in the middle of page 204, John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. Accept the light by accepting one will, and you accept the one will of the light. Accept the light by accepting one will, and you accept the one will of the light. And with that, you accept all things. For all things are of one will. For there is only one will in reality. The will of all things is love. And love is the will under which all things operate. For where there is not love, there is nothing, as love is all there is.
So what do you want?
Right. Love. And, you know, and you said that a while ago when you were talking about, you know, just being in a group. You can have your own agenda and you can, like, somebody can say something that hurts your feelings and you can go off and, you know, have your feelings hurt, or you can be angry that so-and-so didn't do this or say the right thing. Or you can choose love in that situation.
And I tell you, Regina and her other classes helped me a lot with that because, you know, my ego wants to go, oh, I got my feelings hurt, and I'm going to, you know, I'm this is how I'm going to react now that I got my feelings hurt. I'll just be quiet, and I'll just withhold what I really wanted to say, and I won't contribute to this conversation. You know, no, all that is ego stuff. What do you really want? This is not what you want.
It's not
this
what you
is
want.
The way you've dealt with it in the past, which is ugly and punitive and...
And it turns out you're the only one you're punishing.
Exactly.
Right.
But so now, if I can hold it out, what do I want? If I can hold that out in front of me in every circumstance, in every gathering, in everything that seems to be an experience, right? Because everything does seem to be experience. If I can hold that out in front of that, then I can let all that go because there's no conflict in that. You want the same thing, even whether you're aware of it or not. You want the same thing.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's actually brilliant there. Yeah, because that is the one will. Yeah, absolutely. Why do you not see love if love is all there is? It is your fear that hides the truth from you. What do you fear that you should hide your face from love? You fear one will. And knowing that one will must be love, you also fear love. This is why you choose conflict. It is not love. And you fear love because you fear one will. And you know that one will without conflict must be love. It's rather circular there. It sounded like me talking. It took three paragraphs and said the same thing three times over. But that's exactly, and actually it's a really good point because, you know, sitting there listening to you say it, Connie, it's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I choose love all the time? Why would I sit there and pout and do my thing and go, and this is saying, well, there's really a good reason. The good reason is you think you want love, but you don't want love.
You don't know you want love.
You don't know you want love. That's really it. because you cling and you cling to conflict because love, because you're afraid of it, because you're afraid of the love. You fear one will, and knowing that one will must be love, you also fear love. So it's a, it basically it's the same thing, right? We're all afraid of disappearing. I fear one will, because what does that mean? That means Jacqueline, there she went, right? She's gone.
Yeah.
There's no more Jacqueline.
Yeah, and if I'm conflictual, I'm standing up for my one will.
That's right. Jacqueline's will. That's right.
Right. Be damned the rest of you.
Yeah, that's your all's problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Deal with it the best you can. I want to be the top dog here. You know.
This is why you choose conflict. It is not love. And you fear love because you fear one will, and you know that one will without conflict must be love. So that takes us to, we're on the bottom of 204, NTI John, chapter 14. Know that you seek love, for you do know this. Lay down the will that leads you to seek not for what you want. And again, Connie, you're right on with that. It's like you don't know that you want love, right?
Yeah. That's why we're holding it out as the beacon in front of us all the time, and we've got to do that in every. I mean, there's people out there that anytime they have an encounter, they make a statement. I'm walking up to Jacqueline right now. Here she's going to sit down to the table. What do I want? I want the peace of God. What do I want? I want the camaraderie of dinner with her. No matter what she says, no matter what kind of day she has, no matter what it may appear that she's throwing on me, and not that we had that kind of dinner. I'm just saying.
Just
we
for
had
the
that,
record.
We have had that kind of dinner,
yes,
right?
We have.
But I wasn't in that space. I was in the same space, you know. I was, you know, shoo-wee. I had a tough day, too. And so you're throwing it out, I'm throwing it out, we're throwing out these agendas that don't seem to have anything to do with one another except that, are you hearing me? I had a bad day.
Validate me.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly what you were saying before. I'm going to be the individual that's going to stand out. I'm not going to be lost in the oneness.
Right.
Yeah. It's that ego just screaming, screaming, hear me, see me. Instead of knowing what I really want is the camaraderie. I'm wanting the love and the time with my sister to experience that love and to hold that space together. Instead of getting lost in the bull crap of the seemingly day-to-day existence.
So...
And you can tell this is my lesson. I mean, this is what this is.
It's great.
I mean, This is what I've got to be about. Otherwise, I'm trapped in this world. If I keep letting the seemingly experience that seems to be going on, and there's, you know, as long as I'm in the dualistic world, there's going to be the upside and the downside. So if I take the downside and take it in from this experience, and now I bring it into this experience. I mean, that's not extension, but it seems like that's what I'm extending. But instead, and I go, no, what is it you want? I'm going into a new experience now. What is it I want? You know, what is the spirit of this experience? What do I want?
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Connie. Again, know that you seek love, for you do know this. Lay down the will that leads you to seek not for what you want. Trust in God, which is to trust the guidance of one will. Do not fear that which you want, for fear only serves to keep you from you. Since you, capital Y, since you are that which you seek. quit hiccuping. My Father's house has many rooms means we are all one. Come with me to the house that is our home. It is the realization of our oneness through the acceptance of our one combined will. One will is one will without an element of separateness. I am within my Father, and my Father is within me, means there is no difference between us, and no part of us that is not the same. I am the way and the truth and the life, means all reality is within me, and I am in all reality. What I am, you are also. I am within the Father, and the Father is within me. I am within you, and you are within me. You are within the Father, and the Father is within you. There is no difference among us. We are complete and the same. Reality is within us, and we are reality. Within you, there is a voice that speaks of truth. This voice is the comforter, because it speaks of what you are. You are comforted by this voice because you recognize the truth that it speaks, and you desire to know that truth again. This is the call of your heart, to know itself within its reality and to let go of what it is not, that it may know only that which it is. Any belief in separateness is a denial of the truth. But a denial of the truth does not change the truth of which you are. I am always with you, because I cannot be separate from you, and you cannot be separate from me. Where you go, I go, and so I am there also. I am in all that you see, waiting only for your decision to see me, that you may know my joy for knowing that I am you.
Yeah, and on the practical experience of that is you have to know that our interests are the same. No matter who I come up against, no matter how combative they are, no matter how selfish they may seem to appear. I mean, that's where conflict is. Oh, they're selfish. I mean, they pulled out in front of me. They knew it was my turn. But no matter what that circumstance seems to give, you've got to know the essence of it is our interests are the same. What do I want? I want to know that because I want to experience the love of God. I don't want to let the seeming experience negate the truth. Because it will. It will.
It does.
It does.
If you believe in conflict, then that's what you see.
If you believe in duality, that's... But our interests are the same is a statement against duality.
Against
right?
conflict.
Against conflict, right? So if I can be cognitive of that, what I want, and then know that our interests are really the same, no matter what people seem to be...
Saying or doing
or acting out... that I can live in from that experience, from that mindset, from that spirit of that.
And always be in service of the one will.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, guys, it's that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I talked a lot.
She did. Didn't she do some good teaching tonight? Powerful. Good job, Connie.
Thank you, Jacqueline. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. We love you guys. We appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, to be on this journey with you. We appreciate you. We love you all dearly, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Good night.